we have two tax collector stories in a row. And, of course, in the Bible, tax collector means sinner. And everyone knew this. This gospel reminds me, what was Zacchaeus' big problem? Short. He's too short. And last night we had our children's mass, and everybody, half the people there were too short. But most of us grow out of it. When I was in a middle school, we called it junior high school, I entered the 10th grade. I was one of the shortest kids in the class, but there's something in our family. I grew up like 6 inches in 1 year, thanks be to God. But my yearbook for leaving junior high school said, full of funny comments like, good luck in short school. I didn't think it was very funny either. Zacchaeus probably, you know, he made up for his height by his position in life. Jericho was one of the wealthiest cities in Israel, second only to Jerusalem. This is because of its position. Jericho is considered, I believe, to be the oldest inhabited city on earth. You can go there even today and find an excavation of a wall that's 10,000 years old, which a human-created wall, which is amazing. And so Jericho, people would go through Jericho because they didn't want to go through Samaria, which was an easier way to get from north to south in Israel. But the Samaritans didn't like them passing through. And so people, to have more peace, they would go down through the Jordan River Valley. And the journey would then end at Jericho, a big oasis in the middle of the desert. Even today, it's a very popular place to go. The climate is very good. It used to be a place like kind of like Spirit Mountain, where all the Jewish people would come and gamble there, because gambling is illegal in Israel, and Jericho is a Palestinian town. So Jesus, like everyone else, is passing through Jericho, and Jericho's filled with tourists and passersby, you know, and people got very wealthy. With people, of course, they'd stay in Jericho for a while, the climate's nice, before the long walk up to Jerusalem, 3,600 feet elevation climb from Jericho. You know, it's a long journey ahead, so people would spend a lot of money there. And when there's money, there's taxes. And all the locals would have known Zacchaeus. The tourists and visitors wouldn't have known him, but a lot of the locals recognized him as Zacchaeus. Now, Jesus had just, in the previous gospel, right before this, Jesus had entered Jericho, and there's this blind man, and Jesus healed the blind man. Well, news like that got all over Jericho very quickly. And so people came out. If they hadn't heard of Jesus in the last 3 years, they'd all heard of him after that, because the blind man was at the entrance to the city, and everybody knew about this guy begging for money. So they're lining the streets to see Jesus, to perhaps get a healing from Jesus, to listen to him teach. Nobody had ever taught like him. And Jesus is passing by with followers. And Zacchaeus has heard about Jesus also. Jesus knows Zacchaeus' name. How does he know Jesus' name? Did he meet him before? Or did he hear about how awful he was from others? We don't know. But Zacchaeus didn't care what people thought. He thought, what am I going to do? I'm too short to see him. So he goes and climbs a tree. And, you know, people saw this and probably were snickering. They said, look, there goes that guy. There goes that shyster, that guy that took me for all this money. There he is climbing the tree to go see Jesus. They looked at him. They thought it was funny. Zacchaeus' infirmity was his blessing. Because he was short, he had to act. And act he did. So when Jesus walks by with his entourage, he's talking, his followers are listening, and he's preaching, and he's walking along. And there's Zacchaeus up in the tree. And Jesus stops and looks at Zacchaeus, along with everyone else who's looking at Zacchaeus, who looks like a fool up there. but he's not a fool. Zacchaeus is a very smart man. And Jesus looks up and he says, Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. He says it very loudly. We know this because the whole crowd heard this. And then he said, I must stay in your house today. That's a bit of a plucky thing to say, isn't it? What if I said, Bill, come up here. I must stay in your house today. And he'd probably say, I've got to go ask Bernadette. Jesus did not ask permission. He said, I'm coming to your house. Why do you suppose he came to that house in particular? No, don't speak all at once. Because he's a big sinner? Huh? He's a big sinner. He also had probably the nicest bed in Jericho. Now, Jesus, I'm just kidding. But, you know, the poor guy had nowhere to lay his head, so that pillow probably looked pretty darn good. You know, he had a good house. This man was very wealthy, and people there, you know, if you had money, of course, you could live well. And so, anyway, but everybody starts to murmur. They say, oh, now he's staying with the biggest sinner in town. He's staying with the guy that cheated me out of all my income last year. He extorted. It's even in the scriptures. He says, if I have extorted anybody, oh, come on. This is how they made their living. By extortion. Who would be the worst person in Kaiser? I won't even try to think of who that is, because I, you know, but if there was such a person, and Jesus came here and said, I'm going to stay with that person this evening, we would be murmuring too. And Zacchaeus stands his ground. The previous translation said, but Zacchaeus, hearing all of this, of course, he had heard it all his life, he was compensated well. He was the head tax collector. He had his goons go out and do all the work. But everybody knew Zacchaeus. He stands there and says out loud as Jesus had called him, behold, I give half my money to the poor. He's saying it to everyone. He wants some points, you know, too. I give my half of my money to the poor, and if I have extorted you, I'm going to give it back fourfold. Wow. He probably didn't have any money left after all of that. And Jesus says, salvation has come to this house. This gospel is used for the blessing of churches. I was at Queen of Peace when they dedicated their church, and we read this gospel. It was probably read when this church was dedicated. It speaks deeply to us. There's no sin I commit that Jesus will not forgive if I bring it to him. But you'll notice, when I read this gospel, to me it means something else. Zacchaeus is the one that got Jesus' attention. This crowd, what is Jericho? Let's look at a larger picture. You see, the scriptures mean more than just the surface meaning. We're challenged to go beyond just today's gospel. Jericho is Kaiser. Jericho is the world today, filled with all kinds of people. Some of us live here, some are visiting, some are traveling. It's Halloween, people moving around. And in the midst of all of this, Jesus is passing by. In every generation, passing back and forth through Jericho, the world, on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified for us. He's already been crucified, but we are reliving it. We've never lived before. We didn't have the chance to see him in person, but we heard him today in the scriptures. He feeds us with the Eucharist. He's passing by. And most of the people in Jericho were curious, but they didn't do anything. They didn't get noticed. They stood there and listened. And when Jesus began the long climb up the hill, they stayed behind. Did their lives change? We don't know. But we do know one person whose life changed, and it was the man who climbed the tree. And I think this is one of the lessons that I got from the scripture in praying about it, is that God will ask us to do something. We can't just listen. We are called to climb the tree. And to climb the tree, you know, we can't help it. We're short. We can't see. We need God's point of view. How do we climb the tree? We listen to the scriptures. After all is said and done, all the nonsense that we read on our cell phones and the internet and magazines and all, God knows where we get all of our information. We're so busy reading things that 40 years ago nobody bothered to read. But this book will be the only one left at the end of our lives. So we better know it, because our exam is based on this. And Jesus, this book, in particular this book of the Gospels, and then the letters of St. Paul, elevates us beyond the view of the common man who don't know where they're going and have no idea what life is about. So Christ comes and says, if you want to listen to me, I'll lift you up into this tree so you can see what's going on. You will see me and I'll notice you because you're actually listening. Sometimes God calls us to take an action that's that takes a little bit of courage. You know, this is Priesthood Sunday, so I'll tell you one of my many vocation stories. You haven't heard a tenth of them. God kept doing these things to get me to do this, and I kept saying, later, Lord. But I was invited. I had contacted the Diocese of L.A. I wanted to be a monk, but I did call them, because I'd been getting involved in the parish, and I kind of liked what I was doing. And they had a kind of a weekend come-and-see thing. And so I did not have weekends off at the airline, so I had to really work on this. And I thought, gosh, I haven't had Saturday and Sunday off for a long time. I'm not sure I want to go. But I drove up there, went to this place called Manresa Retreat House. I don't think it exists anymore. A Jesuit-run place. And I drove into the, it was kind of a parking lot, and then there was a drop-off circle, and I drove in there, circled, and drove out. Turned around, drove in, circled, drove out. Drove in, circled, and stayed. And I said to God, all right, I will do this, but these guys aren't talking me into anything. See what happened. That's really where it changed. That's really where this journey began, and the other one stopped. And I mention that story because God called me to climb a tree, and it was not easy to do. He gave me every indication of what he wanted, but I had to do something, or nothing would have happened. And you too are being called to climb that tree. It might be the Adoration Chapel. It certainly means coming to Mass every Sunday. It's not optional if we're really Catholics and Christians. Otherwise, how are we going to hear the gospel? We need to hear the good news. Lord knows there's enough bad news in the world. I want to hear the good news. The good news is Christ is going to forgive me no matter what I do. What a great offer. But I got to ask. Maybe I'm called to climb the tree out of an addiction I have. I might need to get some help. That's the tree I've got to climb. But it takes guts. I've got to admit something. Maybe I'm called to climb the tree of assisting at one of the many things we do here. We've got four or five Bible studies going on right now. You want your faith to grow? We've got to do something. Zacchaeus was the biggest sinner. It's ironic, isn't it? The biggest sinner in Jericho is the one that did the most. Because he was very wealthy. But because he was so wealthy, he knew that wasn't enough. That was another one of his assets. He had it all, and it wasn't enough. He needed what Jesus had to offer. He knew in his heart he was not the kind of person he needed to be. And so he made sure that he was going to see Jesus while he was passing by. He made sure he didn't miss his opportunity when God offered it to him. We too have that opportunity that God is passing by our world. This world, this city, this church is Jericho, and Jesus is passing by, hoping that somebody will listen, hoping that somebody will respond to him. If he does, if we do, he will come and stay in our home, and our lives will change forever.